As it appears, not everything goes to plan. Certainly this night would be different 2,000 years ago as the disciples looked on and Jesus was seized by the crowd, taken to the cross. Did not look like everything was going to plan. And so, more on that on Sunday morning. Tonight I want to look at an aspect of this night 2,000 years ago that we don't really look at that much. And something that has really captured my heart over the last couple of years, and only recently have I even begun to even teach about it. If you turn with me to Hebrews 12, chapter 12, I want to look at one aspect tonight of what we might refer to as Good Friday, although I can't find a reference to that in Scripture. We'll still leave it as it stands. Hebrews chapter 12, just one verse. We're going to look at verse 2 tonight. If you read along with me, the verse says, "Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." Thinking about this the last couple of weeks, and I shared this with my small group a couple of weeks ago, it's interesting that the Bible only has two verses that have the word joy, the word kara, and the word Jesus in them. Only two verses. Both verses speak of Jesus' joy. This verse in particular, Jesus' joy, and the other verse, John 15:11, which we'll talk about on Sunday morning, which speaks of the joy that Jesus gives us to make us complete. And so tonight we're going to look at the joy that Jesus had in going to the cross. Sunday morning we're going to look at our joy that we have in Jesus going to the cross. It's significant that both of these references, as I was looking at them, both are rooted, or at the very core of it, is the obedience of Jesus to the Father. Very important for us to understand. And so it's significant that we look at that tonight, that Jesus' joy, how could, this is the thing that always grabs me, always grips me, how could Jesus, knowing what we know now, how could Jesus have joy in going to the cross? And conversely, for us on Sunday morning, how can we have joy entering into glory? And so we're going to look at that. Jesus' joy tonight as he goes to the cross. But I want you to take note of something right from the beginning, a mental note of something as we begin to talk about this tonight, something very important before we started, and that is this, that the road to joy for both Jesus and for us cost Jesus his life. Okay? Very important for us to understand. The road to joy is hard, is what the Bible tells us. And the other point I want to make and I want you to think about tonight is that our joy is not in the here and now, this life on earth, but rather it is the life to come. This is made evident in Hebrews 12 as the writer talks about Jesus' joy, and it's also made evident by the Apostle John as he talks about our joy. Jesus' joy could not be complete until he died on the cross. The Father's joy could not be complete until Jesus died on the cross. Our joy cannot be complete, okay, until Jesus died on the cross. And so the writer of Hebrews says that it was the joy that was set before Jesus, something beyond the cross. Okay, and I think that's important for us to think about, because if your joy right now is in the here and now, it's in this life now, it's in the things that happen now, if the object of the joy that you have now is rooted in anything here, then you're headed for a great disappointment. Okay? Certainly the disciples were disappointed this night 2,000 years ago. The object of our joy is waiting for us to be rejoined with him in heaven. And I don't need to tell most of you that this isn't our best life now, regardless of how it may seem. Many of you are already well acquainted with grief and sorrows. many of you are already experienced or have experienced this life, that it is not always joyful. I think when James says in chapter 1 that consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, I don't think he had in mind that everything that we have in this life will be joyful. I don't think that he meant that every situation here on this earth is even meant to be joyful. Cancer is not joyful. The death of a child is not joyful. Persecution is not joyful. So I think James wants us to know that, to be sure, there is joy in this life, but not everything here is meant to be joyful. So the road to joy is hard, and of course Jesus knew this all too well. As we read just a few moments ago in Isaiah 53, he was despised and he was forsaken of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Three times Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane this night. And all three times he had something to say about his sorrow. In Matthew 26, we read that Jesus was sorrowful and distressed. And he told his disciples that he was deeply grieved, even to the point of death. In Luke 22, we see that Jesus was in agony, it says, and that he was praying very fervently, and that his sweat became like drops of blood because of his stress. So Jesus knew the road to joy was hard, and before he left this earth, he warned us that our road as well would be hard. Jesus warned us in John 16 that in this world there would be much tribulation. He warned us in Matthew 5 that there would be persecution for his name's sake. And he warned us through Peter, in 1 Peter, that there would be many trials. And so the road to joy is hard. Jesus says that he was the example for us in this life, 1 Peter 2:21, for you have been called for this purpose, talking to believers, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow in his steps. And so Jesus' joy, if Jesus is the example for us to follow in his steps, it might be important to look at what the joy he had in going to the cross, because this would be our joy too. What was it that encouraged Jesus to endure the cross, fascinating, and to despise the shame? First thing I want you to notice as we looked at this tonight, the first joy that Jesus had was in pleasing the Father. As I'd mentioned, both the verses that speak of Jesus' joy have to do with obedience to the Father. Amazing. Isaiah 53:10 again. But the Lord was pleased to crush him, putting Jesus to grief. This gave the Father pleasure to crush Jesus on the cross. How hard is that for us? The purpose of Jesus' whole life, we have to remember, was to please the Father. And so obediently, he was going to walk by example to the cross. And this gave him joy to be obedient to the Father. This is what gave Jesus complete joy to do the Father's will. Jesus says in John 17, I glorified you on this earth, having accomplished the work which you gave me to do. And so Jesus loved to please the Father. And though it may surprise us to hear this, Jesus' sacrifice, his obedience to the cross, was not ultimately for us. Jesus' sacrifice on the cross was to please the Father. Man, that goes against everything that we want to think. You mean the cross and his sacrifice and Jesus' ultimate joy wasn't about us? Yes, it wasn't about us. Although we're the benefactors, although we receive the greatest reward for his obedience, the fact is Ephesians 5:2, right? It says, just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for you as an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. Amazing. That was Jesus' joy. His first joy going to the cross was to please the Father. The second joy that Jesus had was the joy of restoration. This is amazing. The second reason that Jesus had joy in going to the cross was the joy of restoration. What did the cross restore? Well, the first thing I want you to notice, and it's in our passage tonight, is that it was the joy that Jesus would have in being restored to the Father again. You got to remember, when Jesus came to earth as a man, he forfeited, he set aside some of his attributes. He certainly set aside his throne. He certainly set aside his privileges so that he could come to earth. The psalmist in Psalm 16 says, "You will make known to me the path of life. In your presence is the fullness of joy. In your right hand there are pleasures forever." The writer of Hebrews tonight in our chapter, in our verse, says that after Jesus endured the cross and he despised the shame, he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus' joy was that he would be restored to the Father's right hand, that he would again be joined in close relationship and fellowship with the Father. That was his greatest joy and pleasure. I think about, as Jesus was going to the cross in the garden, it says that he was grieved. It says that he was sorrowful. But I can't help thinking there was a point every so often as he was going to the cross that he thought, only a few more moments and I'll be with the Father again. Only a few more moments and I will be in the presence. The second thing that Jesus restored was the possibility for us to have a relationship with the Father as well. Very important. Jesus defeated sin and death on the cross. He conquered evil. He appeased God's wrath and restored for us the possibility of being in the presence of the Father. Something that should be a great source of our joy. It was now possible for us, through a relationship with Jesus, to stand in the presence of the Father without fear of condemnation. We would again be in the presence of the Father. And so the joy before Jesus was the joy of restoration and the joy of absolutely pleasing the Father. Let me give you the last joy that Jesus had before the cross. The last joy that Jesus had, and Scripture makes it clear, is that he brought glory to the Father and he brought glory to himself. This is very important for us to see. In John 17, verses 1 through 5, I'll read them to you. Jesus makes this clear in his prayer to the Father. In verse 1, Jesus spoke these things, and lifting up his eyes to heaven, he said, "Father, the hour has come to glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you. Here is the glory due." Here is the restoration accomplished in verse 2. "Even as you gave him authority over all flesh, that to all whom you have given him, he may give eternal life." That is the restoration. In verse 3, Jesus says, "This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." And here's verse 4, we see the pleasing of the Father. "I glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work which you gave me to do. Now, Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was." What was the joy to come? What would Jesus accomplish on the cross that would bring glory to the Father? This is just precious. The writer of Hebrews says in Hebrews 2:10 that he would bring many sons to glory, that we might worship both the Father and the Son for eternity. You see, when Jesus went to the cross, he wanted to bring glory to the Father. He wanted to bring glory to himself, and he did that by restoring us to a right relationship with the Father. In other words, what Jesus accomplished for himself and for the Father was to raise up worshipers for all eternity. To raise up worshipers for all eternity. Jesus' joy that he looked forward to, that enabled him to endure the cross and despise the shame, is that he would have for himself forever in us worshipers that would glorify the Father. I note this in Revelation 5:9. "And they sang a new song, saying, 'Worthy are you to take the book and to break its seals, For you were slain and purchased for God with your blood men from every tribe, every tongue, and people of every nation. And then I looked and I heard a voice of many angels around the throne and the living creatures and the elders. And the number of them was myriads and myriads and thousands and thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. And every created thing which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and on the sea and all things in them I heard saying, to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and dominion forever and ever." This was the joy that was set before Jesus, to please the Father, to restore what was broken, and to bring glory to the Father and to the Son. And so as we get ready and we prepare for communion, I want us to remember this glory. Because when we talk Sunday morning about what joy we have in Christ, that Christ is our joy, this is the thing that becomes most important, is that His joy and our joy become the same thing. This is how we know we love Him. This is how we know we serve Him. If we could prepare for communion, please. It says in 2 Corinthians 4:10 that we carry the death of Jesus in our bodies, and we also carry the life of Jesus, that it is manifested in us. And so, like I said, 2 Corinthians 4:10 says, always carrying about the body of the dying of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our body. In verse 26 of 1 Corinthians, it says that we always proclaim His death. That's the significance of tonight. That's the significance of Good Friday, is that we always proclaim His death. And so as we prepare for communion tonight, I just want to admonish you that if you do not proclaim His death and therefore have His life manifested in your life, I ask you to refrain from taking communion. He says that you will bring judgment on yourself because you are drinking the cup and eating the bread, but you do not proclaim His death. And so I admonish you tonight, if you would just pass the cup, if you don't know Him, it's okay. For those of you that do proclaim His death, I ask that you take communion tonight in a worthy manner. That if there is a hindrance in your relationship, if there is a hindrance in your communion with the saints, please refrain from taking communion tonight. There's no dishonor in that. We want you to take it rightly so that the body of Christ is nourished and glorified in His presence. It was the joy set before Jesus that he would honor the Father, that he would glorify the Father, that he would please the Father, and that is our example and our expectation for this night as we remember Jesus. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" The bread which we break is the communion of the body of Christ. Take, eat, and remember, and believe that the body of our Lord Jesus Christ was broken for the complete forgiveness of sins. Let us eat. Heavenly Father, I pray tonight that though we may not see it in everything that we do and everything that happens, Father God, that we would look forward to the joy that awaits us to be in your presence for eternity, to worship you for eternity, to love you for eternity. I thank you for the opportunity tonight, Lord Jesus, to honor you and your death. We thank you for your complete provision and for your complete forgiveness of sins. We love you. We pray this in your precious name. Amen. The joy that Jesus had, as I said, was the joy of restoration. Not only that he would be restored to the Father's side and that his inheritance would be made complete, but that he also restored for us the possibility of a relationship with the Father. And so we celebrate that tonight. Paul says, as he continues in 1 Corinthians, "In the same way he took the cup also after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" this cup of blessing for which we give thanks is the communion of the blood of Christ. Take and drink from it, all of you, and remember and believe that the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ was poured out for the complete forgiveness of sins. Let us drink. Heavenly Father, thank you tonight for the opportunity to worship you, to get a glimpse of the joy that we will have for eternity, not only in just the act of worship, but the communion of worship, the togetherness that all of the saints will enjoy for eternity in being with you and for being with each other. This is a cause for great joy. We thank you for the opportunity, Father, always to proclaim your death, proclaim your name, to love your Son. You are precious in our eyes. We pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen.